This is a recording of a public meeting of the Board of Commissioners for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired taking place on May 4th, 2013. The location is Homestead National Monument outside of Beatrice, Nebraska.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to everyone. So I think we'll begin with the introductions. And since I have a microphone, I'll just start and then we'll go through the head table up here. And then we'll go to Johnson. I'm Julie Johnson and I'm from York, Nebraska, and I'm the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners.
Daryl Wallop, I'm a lame duck commissioner from last term. Omaha, sorry.
I'm Nancy Oldman and I'm from Hastings, Nebraska, also a commissioner.
And I'm Jimmy Rock, I represent the interests of the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska, and I am from Omaha.
My name is Mike Hansen. I am the National Federation of the Blind designee, and I am from Lincoln.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant at Lincoln.
Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director, Lincoln. And let's be at each end.
I'm Bill Brown. I'm the driver for the center today, and double as the business manager for the commission. I'm from Lincoln.
I'm Ashley Finkelman. I am staff training to be vocational rehab tech in Omaha.
Scott Penelope from North Platte. I'm the vocational rehab counselor in training.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director, VR Services, Lincoln.
Patoche Floyd, Director, Nebraska Center for the Blind, Lincoln.
Sydney Maddock, student at the Nebraska Commission for the Blind.
I'm Meredith Baumann, I'm Chief Ranger at Homestead National Monument. Welcome.
I'm Jeff Altman, First Vice President, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. I'm also an employee of the agency and a travel instructor in the center.
Wes Medeiros, Technology Program Manager from Lincoln.
Katie Regan, Board Member, National Federation of the Blind, Nebraska Lincoln Chapter, Secretary of the Nebraska Association of Blind Students.
Karen Anderson, President, Nebraska Association of Blind Students, Board Member of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, and I'm from Lincoln.
Tony Olivero, First Vice President, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, Lincoln Chapter, from Lincoln.
Zach Hoy, Lincoln Chapter NFB Member, and also from Lincoln.
I'm Anna Gibbons. Also a member of the NFB in Lincoln.
Alex Castillo, NFB member from Lincoln and the commission client.
Bob Eaton, Deputy Director of Independent Living Services from Lincoln.
Dave Freitag, NFB member.
I'm Tammy Freitag, an NFB member.
I'm Lori Jacobson, an NFB member, and I'm the Apartment Resource Manager, counselor in Lincoln.
Marietta McFarland Crofton, and I'm a student at the center.
Noel Williams, student at the center. Martell Crawford, student at the center.
Connie
Connie Daly, Lincoln District Supervisor.
Kenneth Slavin, ACB President, OCB President.
Megan Weiland, Vice President of the American Council for the Blind of Nebraska.
Mark Bolger, American Council of the Blind from Omaha.
Dan Bird, Omaha Driver from Plattsmouth.
You're repulsive from Lincoln during the recording today.
Awesome. Thank you. Do I get the... Can you guys hear me or do you want me to use the microphone?
Use
the microphone. I knew you were going to say that. Okay.
There we go. Okay, I think we'll move on and have Daryl read the agenda for us real quick.
I'm loud enough, I won't need the agenda. I mean the microphone, sorry. All right, we'll start with the approval of the minutes. Next thing, we will have a Homestead National Monument of America partnership with NCBVI, Meredith Bauman. She will present. 9:30, we discuss and act on the 2013 Executive Director's Evaluation, including approval of the Executive Director's time certification. At 10:25, we discuss and act on the approval of employee in-state and out-of-state travel. 10:30, we have public comment. 10:45, we have break. And at 11 a.m., Commissioner's report, formerly report from the chair. Then we have the Executive Director report. 11:30, we have budget update. 11:40, NFB Newsline update. 11:45, Client Assistant Program cap complaints or items. 11:50 a.m., Nebraska Business Enterprises update. 12 o'clock, we have lunch. 12:30, we have public comment. We resume with new business at 12:45, state plan for independent living. Annual goals and resource plan from the statewide independent living council. At 1 o'clock, we discuss and act on the new state personnel evaluation tool. 1:20, discuss and act on addressing in the changing needs of clients. 1:40, discuss and act on staff training opportunities. 2 o'clock, discuss and act on conducting an agency forum. 2 o'clock, discuss and act on utilization of an organizational environment specialist. 2:40, discuss and act on the state plan, consideration and approval. 2:45, public comment. 3:10, final announcements. 3:15, adjourn. And we go to announcements, lunch, and all that stuff.
Yes, thank you. Okay, the morning announcements. Like I said, the Braille and large print agendas are by the door. There's also the Open Meetings Act, which are the state laws that govern how we do business, that are available if you'd like to review those. Public comments we have scheduled throughout the day, and because we have such a full agenda and there are a lot of people here, I'm going to follow our rules very closely so that we can keep things on track and organized. So there is a podium set up where people can go to speak, and I will take names at the beginning of our public comment time, and I will keep accepting names until everyone who has had a chance to speak has, or we run out of time. And I will take people, if you have follow-up comments, like a second time you want to speak during public comment, we can do that if we have enough time, but I'm going to let new speakers have a chance before I'll take people who want to go a second time.
You can speak about anything in public comment. It doesn't have to be what we have on the agenda. You can bring up any item that you would like to address. What else? Oh, Kathy is going to tell us about the proof of publication and our lunch arrangements. Oh, and one quick other announcement before I give the microphone to Kathy is our meetings are recorded. So any comments that you make will be recorded, and then they are available, usually takes about 10 days or 2 weeks, and then those are available on the website for people to listen to if they couldn't make it. So I will let Kathy talk about proof of publication and lunch. Yep. And then, did I get everything?
Okay, the notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star. It was published on the state government calendar, the NCBBI website, NFB Newsline, radio talking book. It was sent to the NCBBI listserv and to ACB and NFB presidents. Lunch at noon, Valentino's will be delivering pizza and salad, and we'll have pop and cookies.
So, and that be here in this room?
That'll be in this room.
Okay.
Did you turn it off?
Did you turn it off, Kathy? Yeah, it's off. It's on now.
Thank you. Are there any other announcements from Pearl, Kathy, or commissioners? Okay, I think I got everything, but if I forgot, I'll pick it up here in a minute. Okay, so our first agenda item is the approval of our February meeting minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve our February meeting minutes. The draft minutes have been available on the website for some time, and the commissioners have had an opportunity to read those and make any corrections or changes that we thought necessary. So I have a motion and a second, so we'll have a roll call vote, and I'm not going to pass the microphone around. That's too much. Okay, so we'll start with Mike.
Yes.
Jim.
Yep.
Daryl.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
And I'll say yes. So our February 2013 minutes have been approved, and our next item is
Meredith.
The Homestead National Monument of America presentation. So we'll go ahead and move to that.
Would you like me to use the mic?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you need this one?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are very honored and pleased that you chose to have your meeting here today. So thank you very much. First of all, an important business thing, and that is I understand we're out of coffee, but we are making more. So I think I made 45 cups, so that's pretty good. We're making more. But again, we're very pleased that you're here today. Again, my name is Meredith Bauman, and I'm a park ranger here at Homestead National Monument. And I am definitely not an expert in accessibility. It's been something I have been learning about all through my career with the National Park Service, but I'm really proud of the things that we've done here at the monument with the help of the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the monument, what we've done, some of the services that we have here, and then some of the things that we hope to continue to do. So just a little bit about the monument. Again, we're a National Park Service site. There's 401 national parks across the country. And the reason we are here is because we're on the first piece of land claimed under the Homestead Act of 1862. So 150 years ago last year, Abraham Lincoln signed a piece of legislation that allowed anyone who was a U.S. citizen or had intentions of becoming a U.S. citizen access to free government land. Originally, it was 160 acres, so a quarter of a section. People had to stay on the land for 5 years. They had to make it their home. They had to develop the land, farm the land. And then after 5 years, if they had met all the requirements, the land was theirs for free. So it was a law that really changed this country considerably. 270 million acres went from being federal land to private land through the Homestead Act. That's about 10% of the country, so it's a pretty big chunk. And this was in 30 different states. States like Nebraska, over 50% of the land was transferred from government ownership to private ownership through the Homestead Act. But there's places like Florida and
Arkansas that you don't think of as having homesteading, but they were homesteaded states. And this law not only changed the land, but it was a very progressive law for the time. It did not say you had to be male. All it said is you had to be 21 years of age or older or head of a household. And a lot of women tried to homestead or did homestead successfully. After the Civil War, a lot of African Americans were looking to try to get out of the South and trying to make a home, trying to make a life for themselves. And many of them left the South and went to places like Nicodemus, Kansas, and places in Colorado, because they could own land through the Homestead Act and get a start that way. So the Homestead Act affected industry, it affected agriculture, it affected American Indian people considerably. Places like Nebraska, here in southeast Nebraska, when this area was being homesteaded early, the first homestead here claimed 1863. A lot of the American Indian people had been moved out, but in a lot of places in the country, homesteading really put a lot of pressure on moving Native American people onto reservations. So we tell that side of the story, too. I don't know if I've mentioned, but it was asked of me earlier, why this spot? I don't think I mentioned, but the reason we are here in southeast Nebraska is we're on the site of the first homestead claimed. It was claimed on January 1st, 1863, which was 150 years ago on January 1st. And there were many other people that claimed land on January 1st, but the gentleman who claimed the land, his name was Daniel Freeman, he was very good at publicizing the fact that he was the first homesteader. He called himself the old number one. And that's how he referred to himself. And he had a guest book in his house, so when you came to his house in the 1880s, 1890s, you could sign the guest book that you had been on the first homestead. So when he died in 1909, there was already a movement to have his homestead set aside as a monument to homesteading, and it finally occurred in 1936, so the monument's been around for over 75 years. And again, we tell all those impacts that homesteading had. So we're a small park, as parks go, we're only 211 acres, but we tell this huge story, because we're telling this story not only in southeast Nebraska, we're telling the homesteading story across the whole nation. You know, what was homesteading like in Florida? What was it like in Alaska? Homesteading occurred all the way up until 1986 in Alaska. So we have a large story to tell. And it's our job to make sure that we tell it to all Americans, because all Americans own their national parks. So accessibility and making sure that people that come here can enjoy the national park is important, and it's what we have to do. It's what we need to do. So just a little bit about some of the accessibility services that we have. The building that you're in, our education center, was the main visitor center up until 2007. There's the coffee. It was our main visitor center until 2007 when we opened the Heritage Center, which is just a mile to our east, up on a ridge. And the Heritage Center, when it was opened in 2007, we did a lot of things to make it accessible to folks. First of all, the site and building design, as you can expect, we use universal design principles and everything, our parking lot, our walkways. The building is fully accessible to someone in a wheelchair, a person in a wheelchair. So all of our accessibility symbols are on the door, and all of our signage in the building is in Braille also. So we really tried to make sure that the building was accessible right from the beginning. Our interpretation of the education that we do, we also try to make sure that right from the beginning had some of those services. Our film is open caption. We had assisted listening for the film. So those are some of the things that we had in 2007 when the building opened. But we knew that there was a lot more that we could do. And luckily, in 2007, we were able to get funding for our exhibits and our film to be audio described. And I had never been involved in a project like this, so I was kind of like, oh boy, you know, I want to make sure we do this right. So, maybe we should call the people that are going to use this service. So we called up the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and I believe the first person that I talked to was Carlos Savant, and he was great, and he got me in touch with the commission. It was wonderful, because right away, people said, yes, we want to help you, which was great, because we, again, wanted to make sure that we were doing this right. So we started, even before we started working on the scripts and how this was going to work, we had folks from the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired come down to the Heritage Center. We explained what we wanted to do. They gave us all kinds of tips and advice, and we incorporated those right away into the design of this audio description program. It was daunting, I'll tell you. Our exhibits, we have over 300 photographs. There's over 16 different exhibit areas.
I don't know how many pages of text. I think in the end, after we did the audio description, I think it's like, oh gosh, I want to say if you listen to every part of it, it's over 3 hours long. I mean, it's a long audio description. But what I love, I think the biggest thing we did that makes this such a good audio description is we made it so that the user can choose what they want to listen to. You don't have to listen to that entire thing. You go up to an exhibit, it's going to trigger a device, and actually I could pass this around, I brought one with. It's called a Sennheiser. And I'm going to pass it right over, I'll start over here. And you can feel what it's like. And when you walk up to one of our exhibits, it triggers that handheld audio device, and it gives a little bit of an introduction. Here's what this exhibit's about. And then it will say, if you'd like to learn about the photographs, press this, and it will give you a number. If you'd like to learn about the objects, press this. If you'd like to learn the text, press this. And so it's very, I think, very user-friendly, because people that are using it get to select what they want to learn about. Maybe you don't want to learn about the images. Maybe you want to learn about the objects. So you get to select what you listen to. And maybe you're just not interested in the topic. So you can move on and go to the next exhibit, and you can see what that's about, and then you can listen to that if you'd like. So I think that was one of the things that makes it, as I think, a very user-friendly system, is that people can select what they want to listen to. So that's been in place. We put that in place in July of 2010. And then what was great is once we got it in place, we had the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired clients and folks come back down, and they told us all the things that we could do better with it. So we went back and we tried to fix some of the things that didn't work so well. So we really, it was great that we had so much participation. And I think it does make it a system that we are certainly proud of, and that's usable for folks, that, you know, folks that come in that that need the service, they use that. And then the film also was audio described, so that all the exhibits, both inside and out, and our film up at the Heritage Center is audio described. And I just want to mention a couple of people. I already mentioned Carlos was very helpful, but Fatos, I enjoyed, Fatos came down a couple times and helped out, and then Jeff Altman was very helpful too. So we really appreciate that. And for the work that we did for this audio description, we received a National Park Service Award in 2010. And I got to go to Washington and accept that. That was very exciting. So, but, you know, the award that I'm most proud of is that we were honored with the James Walker Award. And that really meant a lot. I went to the National Federation for the Blind meeting. And, you know, I had my kids with, my husband was there. Normally, my husband's like, let's go, you know, it's getting late. And I kept looking at him going, why isn't he telling me that we need to leave? And he just kept stalling and stalling. And finally, you know, when they announced that award and it was us, I was like, oh, and I was really surprised. But again, I was so honored that the park received that award. And that's a real highlight for me of my time here at the monument. All the 8 years that I've been here, that's really a highlight. So, again, some of the things I wanted to just mention. We continue to work on things. We have now audio described our waysides. We have exhibits out on the landscape. And now those are audio described also. And what we did is we used a cell phone tour. So we had, again, the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired come back and said, we really want to audio describe these waysides. What's the best way to do it? And we used the cell phone tour. And so there's a braille sign next to the wayside. And it gives you the phone number for the cell phone tour. And then you can listen and hear all about that wayside and the location that it's in and what it's about. Since 2010, we also had our brochure. It's in braille. And so anyone that comes in can take one of our braille brochures, and it's theirs to keep. I'd like to pass one of those around also so you can see what that's like and read that if you like. There you go. We also, some of you might know Stephanie Wagle, and Stephanie came and worked for us in the fall of 11, all through the spring of 12, and then all last year. And she helped us a lot with just looking at our services, what we could do better, what we're missing, and that was, she was a wonderful park ranger. She was great with kids, and again, helped us really make sure that we were accessible to all people that came to the monument.
I'm probably going way over time, sorry. I'll just end by saying that we've had a lot of lessons from what we've been doing the last few years, and I know I've learned a lot. And the biggest thing I've learned is, you know, you involve people that are going to use the service. So often, I think people don't do that. Museums don't do that. Parks don't do that. And it seems so obvious. If you have to involve the people that are going to use the service, because they're going to teach you what you need to know, and it's going to make it so much better. So that might seem like kind of a no-brainer, but I think a lot of people miss that, that, you know, you need to get people involved that are going to use the service. I also learned that it doesn't have to be expensive. I think there's a lot of excuses out there. I hear that in parks. How is it too expensive to do this? No, you know, that's not an excuse. You need to do it. You need to find the money, and you need to be creative, but it's something you have to do. So don't use that excuse that it's too expensive. You also have to make people aware of it. I always drill this into my staff. If people don't know the service is available, then they're not going to use it. So we're constantly trying to make sure people are aware of the services that we have. And then I also say our accessibility services are only as good as the staff providing the visitor services. Our staff really have to know what the services are, how to use them, how people that are going to use them need what the information they need to know. So we're constantly making sure that our staff knows about these services and how to provide them. And then the big thing I learned, you know, improving accessibility is not only the right thing to do, it's necessary. You know, it's what we have to do, and it's necessary. And then we are here to be accessible to all Americans and for all Americans to learn this story. And it's a great story. So we hope that you'll enjoy your day here. And we are here to, myself and the other ranger, Jesse, is here to answer questions that you have. We hope that you'll enjoy your day and come back to the monument and use some of these services and learn about this story.
Hopefully I didn't take too much.
No.
Oh, perfect.
Mic's still on.
Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you so much. Appreciate having you. Okay. Did any of the commissioners have questions before Meredith runs out? Okay. We'll move on to our next item, which is the discussion of the survey and the executive director evaluation. So, I don't have a plan. How should we start?
So I think you already kind of did it, but thank everybody for filling it out. And,
Do you want to talk about first?
Yeah.
First.
Okay. Do you want to go over the rankings? And then you only calculated the first 10.
Right.
But I did go through and calculate the rest of them.
Okay. Well, so I'll let you do that part.
I have all the numbers.
Okay. Mike and I have the plan. Briefly, I want to just talk about our survey. First, it's a survey that goes out to all of the NCBVI staff asking for their input about the overall agency and about how they feel that Pearl is doing. And we use that, information to help us get a better idea of what's going on from day to day and put that along with, you know, our knowledge and thoughts. So this year we had, I'm thinking,
32.
We had about 32 people respond to the survey, and not everyone responded to every question, which is fine, it's not required. So that was a really, really good response rate. Usually you don't get that many people respond to surveys. So I was really, really thankful to the staff that took the time to do that. That's very much appreciated. It helps us out a lot. There were a lot of comments, which is also good. I like all that feedback. We're not going to have time to go through it item by item. I believe the survey questions and the numerical answers, and then I went through all the survey comments personally and rephrase them into my own words so that there would be an extra layer of
anonymity.
Anonymity. There, I got it out right. So those will be available for people to review when the minutes come out. And I think I'll give the microphone to Mike, and he's going to give us the numerical averages. Let's just do the first 10, Mike, so we can keep things going.
Well,
hold on, I've got the mic. Hold on.
I'd prefer to read, at least I'd actually prefer to read all of them if I could. I honestly believe that half the questions in the second section is directly related to her.
Okay.
If you can read really fast.
I will try.
Okay.
I'm not an auctioneer, but I'll do
okay.
my best.
All right, here we go. The executive director believes that it is respectable to be blind. With an average of 4.4. So the averages go from 1 to 5, could possibly be the absolute highest. Question 2, the executive director listens to concerns from the staff, 3.1. The executive director responds to concerns from the staff, 3. The executive director listens to concerns from consumers, 4. The executive director responds to concerns from consumers, 3.8. The executive director identifies priorities, 3.2. Seven, the executive director ensures identified priorities become completed tasks, 3.2. Eight, the executive director negotiates creatively to hire quality staff, 3.4. Nine, the executive director negotiates creatively to fund exemplary service delivery, 3.8. There's a typo in there that we'll have to fix. Number 10, the executive director delivers progressive steps toward true equality for blind Nebraskans, 4. And let me skip ahead here a second.
That's an interesting sound effect.
It is. It's on the recording, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, 16. We're going to skip a couple because they were public. They were kind of open-ended questions. 16, if I have a problem, I feel I can go to my supervisor for help, and that is 4.1. 17, if I feel that I can go to the executive director with a problem, 3.5. There is a system at NCBVI for me to make suggestions, 3.9. I know how to contact the NCBVI Board of Commissioners, 4.6. I understand the role of the Board of Commissioners, 4.2. The Executive Director demonstrates equal opportunity for the blind, 4.4. The Executive Director sets the right goals for NCBVI, 3.8. The Executive Director sets the right priorities for sets the right priorities for NCBVI, 3.7. The executive director is a good manager, 3.7. The executive director is a hard worker, 4.2. The executive director seeks input from the staff, 3.7. The executive director is fair, 3.6. If there is a dispute with the public, I trust the executive director to listen to all sides and make a reasoned decision, 4.0. Promotions at NCBVI are based on qualifications, 3.5. I think that NCBVI is run efficiently, 3.4. And then the last two, I didn't do the average on the last two. So, but they were NCBVI is on the right track, and NCBVI has a good budget process.
Okay. Comments from other commissioners at this point?
I don't know if this is the time.
You need the mic.
Daryl.
Sorry. Mike.
Where's the mic?
I don't know. This is probably not the time, but in hearing these questions and reflecting, I really don't like this survey. I mean, we're going to have to look at this. The executive director is a hard worker. What does that mean? I mean, I'm a very hard worker, but I'm unorganized. I take forever to get anything done. I don't know. I just kind of, that's just my take on this. And, you know, it appears that by the scores and things, things, you know, are pretty okay. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I think we really need to look at this, though, and how we do this.
I got a comment.
Okay.
Julie? Okay.
Dorothy, you raise a very valid point, and, you know, look, I'm a hard worker, too, and I'm one of these people, and I like to, in recent years, I like to procrastinate, but I got a question more or less for Nancy, since she's been on the board for almost its inception. You, I think, didn't you help author the initial survey with the Founding Fathers, if you
no.
will? It won't, you didn't?
No.
Okay. Can you give us some guidance or some feedback as to, maybe you have some idea, what went into some of the questions that are being asked that maybe bother Daryl?
I'll pass the mic down to you.
Okay. I don't know if I can give you an insight, but from my take, you know, we look at the scores like a 5, which I would consider a 5 being perfect. Well, in my opinion, there isn't a human being alive that is perfect. But we look at, you know, what went into this survey was the fact that we were looking for a tool not only to help us evaluate Pearl, not totally evaluate the kind of job that she does, but just help us because the staff is there every day, and whether you're in Scotts Bluff or Norfolk or wherever you are, you do have contact with the administration, and you have contact with each other. But so you are more aware of what's going on than perhaps we do. We get practically daily emails and things that we need to review from Pearl. But that's a very good thing. Some of the things like the state plan that has to be developed are very time consuming, this kind of thing. But we don't know the daily, you know, day by day things, what's going on from that perspective. But going back to my first comment that 5 being perfect and 1 being, you know, let's throw her out. I think if you get above satisfactory, which is the 3, and above, and you look at those scores, she scores all of them are at least over 3. She scores a lot that are over 4. But if I was going to fill out a survey like this, I had a teacher do this, and as I told you, I think 5 is perfect, and since I don't believe that everybody's perfect, nobody's perfect, then I think that I would not ever feel right in putting down a 5. So when somebody scores a 4.4, 4.6, 3.8, I think those are pretty good scores, but I think the survey was strictly to just help us along with this idea of how she does. We do need input, and sometimes staff is reluctant. I don't know why they think we're, you know, sometimes they can't approach us because we're very approachable. But, you know, I think that's part of the thing.
Truly.
But that's about all I can tell you.
Okay. Hey, I'm in the right spot here.
The only other thing I was going to add to what Nancy said was that the survey is used not only for Pearl's as a tool to help with Pearl's evaluation, but it's also used as a general climate survey for the staff at the commission. So there, some of the comments that we've received privately this year and also directly through the survey that'll be made public is some of the staff feel that there's not a reason to fill it out, that they don't feel it's appropriate. And some of the questions that are in there are, you know, how can we
or what do you, how do you, what do you think should be done to make working at the commission better? Or what do you think should be done to, you know, make it a better workplace, be able to provide services better? And if the staff can't, if the staff doesn't think that that's a question appropriate to be asked of them, I can't think of one that is. We want the feedback from the staff. We want to hear what they have to say. We don't ever want them to think that we're turning a deaf ear to their opinions. We're wanting their feedback, and that's what this is. It's one form of the way that we can get their feedback. The other piece of it that is directly related to the executive director, and there's comments made that, well, I don't work day-to-day with the executive director. She's not my immediate supervisor, you know. I'm three levels of management below that. Yes, but you work for the commission. The executive director has, you know, an enormous influence on everything that happens at the commission top-down and the work environment that's there. And so the environment, you know, that could, your opinions of that environment go right into this, and that's why we're still asking everybody the questions related to the executive director's performance coming from their viewpoint. I still think it's absolutely fair questions to be asking. We definitely want everybody's input, but we do realize it's an anonymous survey, so we have no idea who's answering, and that some of the opinions are going to be different in the sense that they're coming from different points of view. An opinion of Dr. Van Zandt's job performance coming from Carlos Servan or Bob Deaton, who are her assistant directors, would be different than somebody who's working as a orientation counselor. Just because of their direct contact with her on a day-to-day basis. We understand that. But we're still interested in everybody's opinion.
May I just... Oh, go ahead. I'll pass it to Daryl.
You have a talk.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's right. Very quick. Daryl, I will say this. The survey, and this is no reflection against Barb and Bob Burns and Bill Elliott. The survey actually has gotten better since it was initially unveiled several years ago.
Yes, I would agree.
There is an agenda item down the road that may replace it, and we'll get there eventually, but it has gotten better, and I will say that. And I do agree with Mike that, you know, we do encourage the staff to fill it out because, like you said, it's anonymous. We don't know who you are. We're not going to come hunt you down if you don't fill it out, but we would appreciate everybody's cooperation.
So. I'll pass it down to
quick.
Okay, yeah, this will be real quick. That's my last comment on this, and then I'll be quiet the rest of the day, I promise you. I would personally, as a board member, have no hard feelings if, when we get to public comment, if people would share with us what they think. Is the survey worth it? Should it be changed? I don't know what fair means. I don't know. You know, there's some things, but we'll get to that bridge later. But, you know, this is the tool we have now, and we'll work with it and see what happens.
Julie, I have some comments about the actual results.
I think we need to give her a chance.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. I'm making the decision that we need to keep things moving forward. The survey, as it is the results that we have are what we have today, and that's what we have to work with, and that's the bottom line for us today. So what I am going to strongly suggest is that we do take a look at the survey, how its usefulness, if we want to continue with it, modify it, dump it altogether, but that we not do that today. We have plenty of time.
You're right.
Before next May, and that we need to make those decisions. And there's a discussion later today that may influence what our choices are.
Right.
So Mike had, moving into the actual content, the evaluation portion of the discussion. So I will go ahead and let Mike start. Okay.
And then I think maybe Pearl had something.
Yeah, Pearl.
Okay. Dr. Vincent, did you want to make a comment before I...
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. As Nancy said, there were quite a few scores that were extremely high, and
looking at the comments that were made, and then also a couple of the ranked questions. I think some of the areas that show that where there's maybe some needs for needs for improvement, or areas where maybe showing where Dr. Van Zandt's strengths might not be is some areas related to or at least current issues at the commission where there might be some areas related to communication between between management and some of the field staff or non-management staff. There's some issue, specifically a question here, number three, the executive director responds to concerns from the staff is a three, and just doesn't matter what the rank is, it's just lower, and there's some other ones like that, and I think that's an area that we need to look at a little closer, and I but judging on the comments that we see here, I think that's something that we're going to be discussing frequently in this meeting and in ones coming in the future.
Pearl, were you next?
If Pearl has something, she was next.
Did you have something you wanted to say? Julie indicated you did.
Oh, I thought I heard you say no.
No, I didn't. I do appreciate the larger number of people did the survey this year. Mm-hmm. That's really good. And so I guess I want to keep hearing what you all have to say.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, I'll go ahead.
If you want to stick to averages or if you want to go into the open comments, I have other ones in the open comments.
Okay. I did want to address some things that came up through comments. And the last couple of weeks have been very busy for me. And I've done a lot of follow-up with things that came up on the survey. There were comments about a grievance that was filed, and then, you know, nothing happened with that. And I checked on that, and there was no grievance filed. So I think that was a miscommunication somewhere along the line, or perhaps the word grievance isn't the right word. I'm not sure. But I did check on that, and that didn't happen. I followed up with state personnel about how we do the evaluation, and we'll get more into that discussion on what I found out in another agenda item later today about the state personnel evaluation tool. And Jim did some follow-up, and there was another something that I did too, and I can't think of it. So I'll let Jim talk about the follow-up that he did, and then I will hopefully remember what else I wanted to say.
Okay. There you go.
There was a comment that came out on the survey with regard to work being done by the executive director with regard to her treasurership, if there is such a word, and if not, there is now, with regard to NCSAB, which is the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. And there was some concern or some feedback on the survey raised with regard to that work being openly done, at least being perceived to be openly done at the commission, and some of the documents being housed on one of the network drives. So, at the direction of Julie, I did check with the state auditor's office and talked to Mary Avery. And when she and I finally connected, I explained to her what NCSAB was and all of that, and she told me straight up, she said, Jim, if NCSAB, or if this entity is, if it directly affects blindness in this case, then the executive director has every right to do NCSAB work at the commission office in Lincoln. If it's as long as it benefits the blind, no problem. But she did indicate to me that the board needed to approve the fact that the Dr. Van Zandt was the treasurer. Now, I wanted to clarify board, what board, the NCSAB board or the commission board? and she suggested to me that her bosses needed to authorize and approve her running for the position of treasurer. Okay. Now, to my knowledge, and I've only been on the board since 2008, along with Julie, that was not brought to our attention. I said, okay, I said, we appreciate that, we thank you, and we'll move on. And I, in my conversation with Julie, I did explain to her what Mary Avery said, and I said, Julie, I said, I have no interest in, you know, going back and, you know, making this retroactive. I said, if Pearl decides she wants to run again for treasurer, then I would suggest that this body put in place a set of guidelines that require, whatever the correct terminology is, that Pearl approach the board and say, this is my desire, what do you think? And that may happen here if she decides to run again. I'm going to get this. So that's what I found out from the state auditor's office.
We did do the insurance.
Yeah, but not this last time.
No, not for real.
No.
And in the past, I think we have all known about Pearl's involvement as the treasurer and her commitments to other organizations, and it has never been a problem. It's just that I guess we need to formalize how we handle that. Yes, you can.
There you go.
Let's pass that.
There you go, Mike. Pass it down to Pearl.
Thank you, this is Pearl. I just want to state that whenever I was invited to either join another board or be an officer with another organization, I've always brought, it isn't just that everybody knew, but I have specifically brought the topic to the board in formal meeting and said, in the case of AFB, I've been invited to serve on the Board of Trustees. In the case of NCSAB, you know, I've been asked to run for president in the past and run for treasurer. And so it is true there was never a formal motion to approve, but there was, I did formally bring it, and the board, there was consensus that yes, this would be a good thing. In fact, it will help Nebraska. So I just did want to clarify that.
Yeah.
But I think having it as a formal motion is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And I have been asked to be the treasurer again, and I told them if anybody else would do it, that would be great. But their election is in November, so I would really need to know by the end of this meeting if you feel that that's not appropriate, you know, with the vote to, and then I can tell them that I need to not do that next year. So whichever way you want.
Is that a 4-year term? How long?
No, well, it's actually a 1-year term.
1 year.
But because it's so difficult to get a treasurer for a national organization, they all say I have it for life, but you all can say something different. Thank you.
Kind of like,
there
you go. Yeah. Thanks.
All right. I don't see a problem with Pearl doing it. I just think we need to make it official. So
that's right.
Here you go.
Okay, so I'm hearing that we need to have a vote to formalize this, and then Kathy needs to write up some kind of thing on letterhead with our decision, and then I'll sign it as the chairperson. Does that sound accurate for whatever our decision is about Pearl participating in NCSAB or other?
Well, there's a record of all of our motions that's kept anyway, so if you just make it a motion to vote on it, there'll be a record of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could we make one motion and just say that the commissioner, the executive director, will make us aware of when she is going to join or take certain positions with organizations, so we'd only have to do this once and not have all this government intrusion?
No, we'd like to vote on it every time.
I really think, too, we need to vote on it every time, because whereas Pearl's belonging to several organizations that are great, maybe 30 years down the road, we'll have a different executive director that doesn't do that, wants to belong to something that's not appropriate. So I don't think we need to do a blanket thing. I think we need to vote on it each time.
So shall we address NCSAB treasurer first?
I think we should.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
You want to make the motion?
Yes.
Make a motion.
All right, I will move that we, the Board of Commissioners, approve Pearl's decision if she so chooses to seek another term as NCSAB treasurer.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion and a second for approval of Pearl as treasurer if she so chooses of the National State Agencies for the Blind. Yeah. I'm not good with the letters. Okay, so we'll have a roll call vote. Mike? Or was there discussion?
I would prefer that the motion be made to include that it's for this term and not for life.
Okay.
So when she's up for re-election again, she would have to come and ask.
Right.
To
no, right.
Yeah. So was not in that.
I believe that's appropriate. Mm.
So Jim, would you like to modify your?
I'll accept Mike's as a friendly amendment.
Okay. So on a year-by-year basis.
Oh, right.
That we're talking about. Okay. So there's a motion on the floor for approval of Pearl to be treasurer of NCSAB if she so chooses. For the next upcoming year term.
Seconded.
And that's been seconded by Mike. So is there any more discussion? Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I say yes.
Ooh, so good job, all right.
Okay, now Pearl, remind me what other boards there are. There are a couple more I remember from your...
Yes, I had been... a member of the Board of Trustees of the American Foundation for the Blind. I last year resigned from that board mostly because of time. I felt like it was that involved more frequent trips around the country and thank you. So I felt like that. Oh, and they had committees, the budget. I was on the budget committee and a personnel committee, so it really was too much time, and I resigned. And I informed you all when I resigned. I'm also on the National Blindness Professional Certification Board, which meets in person once a year, and then it has maybe four conference calls otherwise. So I do still sit on that board. It has not taken a huge amount of time. Sometimes we have things to read and review and such, but it's an important entity, and I'd like to continue on that. And then Community Advocates Incorporated is a private not-for-profit, which I actually started back in about 1980, something like that. The only thing we do now is providing click rules. No one else in the country makes the click rules. And when the marketers of same stopped doing that, Jim Nyman came to us and said, why don't you find a machine shop that'll make these? And because we don't have any place to buy them from anymore. And so we did a lot of research and decided, okay, we can do that. So we do sell the click rules. It is not for profit. I don't get a fee from or a salary or anything from them. Something that, and if there's any purchasing, the agency does purchase click rules, but I'm never involved in those decisions. And usually those are purchase orders are written by counselors for clients that need them or in the center. So that's actually at the very beginning when I was hired as director, I let them know right away of that and that, potentially could be considered a conflict of interest. But I would do my best to make sure that there was never, that never entered in. And if somebody decided to buy 700 click rules to, I clearly would not support that or be involved with that at all. Let me think. I think that's all I can think of right now. Thank you.
Okay. Julie?
Yep.
Okay.
I just wanted to make a quick comment that I appreciate Dr. Van Zandt's decision last year to resign from the American Foundation for the Blind Board of Trustees, realizing that it was interfering to some degree with her ability, time to perform her duties here in Nebraska. And based on that decision is why I don't have any problems with her at this time continuing to lend her expertise and knowledge to the other organizations, because she's already made a step down from that particular position. I'd like to reevaluate, and you know, in another year's time, as to if that was enough, or if there's enough of her to spread around or not. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. So, do we want to vote on the other two?
Other three.
Two.
Well, yeah. The other one's not really.
It's separate, but we still have to vote.
Oh, that's right. Two.
You'll have to give me the letters again.
So the NBPC, the National Blindness Professional Certification Board.
National Blindness Professional Certification Board. I'm not even going to try the letters. Okay. Let's take that one first.
And that is an annual appointment as well?
Three years.
It's every 3 years.
Okay. So, Chairman, or yes. Chairperson, I would move that we accept or realize that it's not something that's going to be new. So it's not a new term.
Right.
That she's asking to I move that we support her participation on the National Blindness Professional Certification Board.
Okay.
For the given term.
There is a motion that we accept and approve Pearl's participation in the National Blindness Professional
Certification Board.
Certification Board. Okay, I got it out.
Second.
For the given term.
For the current term.
Thank you.
Second.
And there's a second. Is there discussion?
I just think that goes with part of the job. I don't understand why we would need a motion for that, but if we have to have one, I guess we'll have one.
It's from Jim's discussion with the state auditor, and it's their recommendation that her supervisors approve her participation. In organizations outside of our NCBDI. Similar to if a staff member wanted to participate in a local transportation board or something, they would more than likely do that, but they would still need their supervisor's
approval.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
May I say something? Thank you. I probably should say that the National Council of State Agencies and the Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehabilitation, which is sister agency to the blind agency group. We, the agency, does pay annual dues to both of those entities. When funds were really tight, we did not pay dues for a couple of years, but the agency belongs to both of those. Where it really gets involved with time is serving as an officer. And since I've been the treasurer for a while here, that's where it's gotten involved. But just so I thought I should clarify that you know, the agency itself is a member of both of those.
How much your dues, do you know?
Dues, I believe, for the council are like $440 a year. Okay. The bigger, it's all based on your federal grant. And the council is of state administrators. That's more, but I don't remember. But we always look at it each year within the budget. And if we can't do it, we don't do it that year.
Thank you. Okay. So we have a motion.
Yeah, a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. So More discussion?
No.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Daryl?
Abstain.
Abstains. And Nancy?
Yes.
And I'll vote yes.
Okay.
So we have the click rule one. What was the name of it?
Community Alter Advocates.
Community Advocates. Where did I get creative solutions from? Okay. So that is the last
right, that's a nonprofit.
One. So would we like to continue?
Sure. I would move that we that the commission board supports Dr. Van Zandt's participation on the board of directors of Community Advocates.
Second.
Okay. For the current term. We'll say for the current. Well, right. Since you're the president, probably.
I think right now I'm the treasurer.
You're the treasurer.
Secretary.
Okay. For the current term.
Okay. There's a motion to approve Pearl's participation in the Community Advocates in her current position for the current term.
Yep.
Is that about right?
That's right.
Okay. And I think...
Second.
And there's a second. So is there any discussion?
No.
Okay. Let's have a vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I say yes.
Okay.
So we're good.
Now it's official.
Okay. So we got that out of the way. I did remember the other thing that I had follow up on. There was a statement in the survey, that's the word, about Pearl working from home. And I went back and reviewed her PAR. What does PAR stand for?
Personnel Activity Report.
Man, me and the letters. Okay, the timesheet. I don't know why I went to fancy names for that. Okay, so I went back and reviewed timesheets, and I don't, honestly, there's nothing in there that is questionable. Every time, you know, I've called the agency to talk to Pearl, she's answering her office phone, and we've talked, and truly, just because Pearl's out of the office, I don't feel like that means she's at home, you know, eating bonbons on the couch and not doing her work. I think working at home in a limited way is a perfectly acceptable use of time. And I feel no, even a hint that that's being abused at all. So I just wanted to know that, to let everyone know that I had followed up with that one as well. And I think that's most everything from the survey that I personally followed up on and checked into and did. There were a lot of other comments. Kind of a theme of communication seems to be an issue. And I think we'll get to that one later today with, Mike saying yes. Okay. With the organizational
realignment.
Development specialists?
Yes.
Is that what they're called? Okay.
Yep.
And then there are some issues with division between administration and the direct service employees. So maybe you'd like to talk about your thoughts on that, Pearl? Maybe some directions and thinking you have for the upcoming year on ways we could address that.
Thank you. Communication is really crucial. There's no question about that. We need to, and we actually already have in place some ideas for the quote, central office, I guess, mainly myself, the two deputy directors of field services, Bill Brown, who's business manager, and Wes Majerus, program manager of technology. We need to, and really try to all the time communicate effectively with the staff. The supervisors all carry the field supervisors carry caseloads as well as the people that they work with, and but there still can be a breakdown in communication. But we're working with and going to continue to focus with our administrative team and then with the supervisors and director of the center level and then the counselors all. You know, we just need to make sure that we do communicate effectively and well both directions. It's definitely not a top-down approach that we have, and I don't really believe in top-down approach. You can some things, yes, need to just be decided, and then that's it, and we're gonna go on, the communication all directions, it's not even just a two-way direction, it's really amongst all. And I think there's especially a real gap between field staff and center staff, and we really need to work at communicating more effectively. What do people in the field do? What do people in the center do? And even what do supervisors and administrators do? So we can get better about that, and I think it's something that needs attention. So, and it's also something I want to say that everybody has to own and participate in. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. Yeah. Any other questions of me? Otherwise, I'm...
Yeah, Julie, I do have one.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you have to pass that.
Okay. Dr. Van Zandt, in years past, one of the comments that we had seen on the one of the responses and one of the things that you were doing to try to help with some of the feedback that we got through the survey process was that you were starting to go out to go out and shadow some employees, and I just wanted to ask you how that's been going, if that's still going on, what you've gotten from that, if that's been helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I should say that word. Kathy's saying. Yes. In the past 3 months, the only office visit that I did was out to Scott's Bluff, which was a little bit of shadowing, but mostly it was to be there for their new, we moved the Scott's Bluff office, so they had a ribbon cutting. It's been a really busy quarter with federal reports and such. So this past quarter, I haven't done any more of that. But when Carlos and Bob have gone to the other office meetings, they have asked staff what their thoughts were about it. A couple of responses they got were actually from years ago when I went out with people, and that there was a little feeling of more critical, or you know, more like watching what they were doing. I'm not saying I don't remember exactly, but when I was there, not at that one place, but I've done some shadowing in Omaha, Lincoln, Scott's Bluff, Kearney, and North Platte. It's been really fun. It's been really interesting for me. The feedback that I've gotten from staff is positive. So I don't know. You know, maybe if people really didn't want me there, they wouldn't want to say that. But generally, it has been very positive, and I do want to continue doing that. So I plan to schedule some things in the next quarter.
I have a quick question.
Thank you.
I kind of need to stand for my back anyway, so I'll come around there.
Okay,
we got it sorted out. There was a comment on the survey about work teams
across districts. So a counselor, you know, from each district in the center or something like that, that could work on programs or projects independent of a supervisor. So what are your thoughts about that approach?
Okay.
Actually, I thought we'd do that there isn't always a supervisor, maybe I'm wrong, on when we plan Project Independence and Winterfest and the employment conference and any technology event. We generally always do a mix of people from different offices. It used to be that someone, like most recently, Bob was, for several years, Bob Deaton was in charge of all the transition programs, and he would gather a team, but he still led the team. More recently, this past year or so, Bob still is on those teams for Winterfest and PI, but he's not the lead. The group will convene and they'll kind of decide who should chair at that time. So I'm not real sure what we could do differently. There's a hand up visually. I don't know that you want to go to Bob.
No, we need to keep going.
So, but sure. I mean, I guess I quit in with saying I agree with the point. there's really no need to always have supervisors in these projects, and I frankly didn't think that we always did. And if we do, like I said, field supervisors carry caseloads too. So, anyway, yeah, I like the idea, and we'll certainly. Look at specific things.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good plan to develop more work teams without supervisors. Give them a budget and let them go.
Right.
Okay, are there other, I'm trying to think if there were other, there's so much. And
there were good comments too.
I think they all go around some general themes that we're planning on talking that we are talking about. So
yeah, and we're not going to get through everything today. Right. And I think it's unrealistic to think that we would.
Right.
Other discussion, other topics. I was just looking through my notes, and I think I'm comfortable where I'm at.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Any more discussion, questions for Pearl?
I'd make a motion.
Okay, Mike's going to make a motion. Do you want to
microphone?
Then I won't have to repeat it.
I would make the motion that we retain Dr. Van Zandt's services for another year as the executive director for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
I'll second. I'm sorry, it was seconded twice. So
make it unanimous.
There you go.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to retain Pearl as the executive director of NCBI for the next year. And there's a second. So is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I say yes.
Yes.
So, did you have something?
Just thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, you don't have to look for a job Monday.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you so much. And I did note, I read the state plan, and I did notice that you did not put yourself down for retirement, like, real soon. So.
I didn't think I'd be here.
So, do we want to discuss salary raise?
Did you make the call to the state personnel office that you normally do?
I talked to Dave Robinson, and he contacted them for me. Mm-hmm. And the contract negotiated raise for the next 2 years is 2.25, am I remember? Yeah, 2.25%. So...
I would move that we grant Dr. Van Zandt the same contract negotiated raise that all other contracted employees are going to get.
Wholeheartedly second that.
Okay.
So I guess of 2.25, you said five?
2.25%.
So just so the amount is there in the motion. So I move that we grant Dr. Van Zandt the 2.25% raise that all other contracted employees are going to get.
Okay.
Second.
There's a motion and a second that we give Pearl the contracted negotiated raise of 2.25% for the beginning in July 1st for the 2013 fiscal year. Yes, that's right.
Yep.
Yes.
It's the
2014.
The state fiscal year of 2013/14.
14, right.
Yes. Okay.
Oh, you want the raise for the second half of the fiscal
year? Well, we thought we'd revisit that in January.
Yeah. So it would go from July 1st, 2013 to June 30th, 2014. I'll okay. just say it that way. Yes. That's clearer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So any discussion?
Call for the question.
No discussion, so let's vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I say yes, so we're all unanimous.
Right. Okay.
Any more executive director evaluation or survey discussion?
Not right now.
No, but we need to do the time certification.
Oh,
yes. So we need to certify Pearl's personnel activity reports.
Oh,
I got it right.
Hey, you're getting good at this.
So, is there a motion?
Yes.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I so move.
Well, we're certifying that we will again accept those reports. We're certifying that we want to again accept those reports via email in the same way that we've done in the past year, right?
Yes.
So, are we sort of? Just to be clear, or is it's because it's the method that we're going to get them in the next year.
Exactly, so that we don't have to do it month by or every 2 weeks type thing. We will go with the plan that we've used in the past and certify it for the next year.
Okay, so do you want to say I move and then all of that?
Exactly. I move and all of that.
She follows directions, folks.
That's great.
Okay, so you guys want me to repeat all of that so everybody can get it.
I'm going to say it. You got the wording, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy has the wording.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kathy has the wording. Nancy will move, and then Kathy will
write it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Commissioner Altman moved to continue with the current method being used for the director to submit her personnel activity report to the board. The director submits her personnel activity report via email to the entire board for their review and information. It is an automatic approval unless a question or concern is raised by a commission board member.
Thank you, Kathy. Right. You
I'll actually restate that if you want me to.
Not really.
Okay.
Okay, so there is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve Pearl's personal activity report.
For the coming year.
For the coming year. Is there any discussion?
No.
Okay, then we'll have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Excuse me, Jim?
Yep.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Okay.
Okay. So then...
in state, now state.
Yeah. Are we... Everybody's comfortable? We're complete with this topic?
Yes.
I believe so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is real short. It is the approval of the in-state and... out-of-state travel by counselors for the coming year.
year.
All
employees. And Kathy?
Yeah, I have the wording right here.
Oh, Mike has the precise wording. I'll let him do that.
Okay, the Rats Commission. Okay, let's see here. I move that we approve all employee in-state business travel and or out-of-state business travel within 60 miles of the border of Nebraska in any adjoining state which relates directly to the provision of services to a client, i.e. employer visit, medical appointment, service referral, employment interview, etc. All other out-state business travel is to be approved if granted approval by the executive director of the agency. This motion will be in effect until the next meeting of the Board of Commissioners after April 1st, 2014.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the travel as Mike outlined. Is there a discussion? No discussion. Let's have a roll call vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
And I say yes. So, moving right along, our next agenda item is public comment. So, the way this works is that you have to verbally say your name, and I will try to hear them and get them
on a list
in order. And then, you're fine. And then when we get through that list, then if there's time, we'll have another round.
Okay, so, and there is another microphone at the podium.
Okay.
So we don't have to.
And as a reminder, Carlos, if you want to go ahead and make your way to the podium.
Oh,
I think Jeff said something.
I'm sorry.
And Connie.
The microphone at the podium is just for the recording, so I will take this.
I'll take this one. Okay, so Carlos, Connie.
Did you get Jeff? He mentioned
no.
Yeah.
And okay, well, you're too quiet. Carlos, Connie, Jeff.
Anybody else? So you come to the mic? To the podium?
Yes. To the podium, and then you have to wait a second. Okay, so let's do Carlos, Connie, Jeff, and then we'll go from there.
Where is the podium?
To your left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just want to clarify the point about asking permission to the board to belong to an organization that directly serves the blind, because it will affect also the way how we work with our staff members. So just as a clarification that that's only when the employees will use work time or work resources in that particular organization.
Yes.
But not necessarily when you are using your own time, correct? I just want to.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes.
Just for the record.
Yeah. Yes.
That was my understanding with the conversation with Mary.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that it's on the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was my fault, Carlos, for not bringing up those things. Thanks for doing that.
Okay.
Got to keep me honest.
That's good.
Okay, I'm Connie Daly. I just want to say that I really respect our director and all the people that we work with. I don't think it's appropriate for the evaluation to be done publicly. I don't know that it's all that helpful, from the discussion that I've heard today, but that's my comments. I think that, at first, I'm not sure that you're really able to effectively evaluate the director since you don't work with her, except on the results of the services that we provide. But I don't think that it should be done publicly for sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kelly.
And can I want to address that really quickly, and I'll try just to be really loud.
No.
You guys, killing me.
I did talk to state personnel about that, and that was another one of my questions for them.
Andy, I can't remember his last
Russell.
Name. Russell, Pearl says. From State Personnel, let me back up. When I started on the board, I was always told that we had to do the executive director evaluation in a meeting, in a public meeting, to comply with the state of Nebraska laws. And I think, Nancy, you had said once upon a time that Barbara did it with Pearl privately.
We did it as a board.
Take the mic, phone call.
We originally did it as, when I came on the board, we were doing it personally. The board would have a discussion without Pearl, and then whatever we came up with or things we thought needed to be changed, the chairman would individually go to the executive director and visit with her. But the board, the whole board was involved with the discussion first. But then we were told that we were, in fact, not following the rules that we needed to follow, and we were told that we needed to do it in public, and we didn't have a choice. We needed to do it that way. So,
and if I can just add, it was the Attorney General's office that told us
yes.
that. So we figured they
need it. Right, and that does coincide with State Personnel told me. It does need to be done by the whole board in a public meeting. The exception is that he said it should be done in an executive session within a public meeting. Mm-hmm. He said that's how all the other commissioners, conduct theirs.
Okay.
So
they didn't tell us that before.
Yeah, I did find that out before this meeting, but because of the late notice and without the opportunity to have that discussion, we went forward with things as they have been for continuity. But I think that in going forward, that we should probably go that route. But that's, we can discuss that through email, I think. I don't want to take up a lot of time today. But yeah, Connie, I've checked on it.
Okay. I just have one more
clock. Sure. Let me get you the book.
I am. I'm really glad that you're looking at the survey instrument too, because a lot of the comments that you've made makes me believe that you misinterpreted some of the survey results. So, I think you really do need to look at whether that's even helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Altman with the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. A couple things. First of all, we recognize that the commission is going through some difficulties right now, and we want to offer our support and to be a resource to the organization as you may need us. So we believe that the agency is providing high quality services. There are things we'd like to improve on, of course, but we believe very strongly in what the agency is doing. And so we want to be in a supportive position with the agency for that. With regard to the survey instrument, perhaps the issue is not so much a matter of what's being asked, but what is being looked at. Really, what you need to be examining is the product of Pearl's work, rather than Pearl herself, which the survey sort of leans toward. If you're going to buy a car, you're not wondering you're not going to evaluate the president of the car company to determine what car brand you're going to purchase. You're looking for the quality product. And Pearl has several products that she's responsible for. Among those is not only the consumer needs and the administrative needs of the agency, but also the relationship with the people that work there. With regard to the NFB, our concern is that the relationships between employees and administration leads to a high-quality services coming to the consumers. We also have the concern for those blind individuals that work at the agency and that they are receiving fair and equal treatment. At this time, we don't see that as being a problem.
Are there comments from other individuals?
One more. Alex Casillo.
Alex, Tony.
There was another voice, but I don't know.
Was it Tony?
You got to say your name.
You're going to have to say it louder. Alex and Tony Casillo. And who was there another one? No. Okay, we'll go with Alex.
I'm just going to address the kind of first comment briefly, which is that I think it is important to, I'll address all of them, to evaluate not just the product, but also, who creates that product. Pearl happens to be a good director, but there are occasions where that might not be the case in some other places. So we do need to take a look at both. It's not just the product of the agency, but also the philosophy and then the director. It's important for me now as a consumer to see where this is going, because that will really determine what kind of services I get in the end. You're never going to have a terrible director with an awesome agency. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a good, good director with a good agency, or a mediocre director with a mediocre agency. It's really what guides the services. So, again, I also understand, just from working at the commission, that Pearl really does a good job at what she does in terms of the direction. And also that the client services are good. But I think we really do need to continue to kind of look at this and not just see the end result and not skip through these things. It's important for us as clients to understand what's going on. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. My name is Tony Oliver. Just one observation that I had as you were going through these survey results. There wasn't a lot of discussion about how they're trending compared to previous results. And I would just encourage the commissioners, as you're considering alternative instruments and techniques for performance evaluations, to consider how you will be able to categorically analyze trends in future years to give you kind of a baseline of, are we improving or are there issues that we need to address, versus, results for 1 year that only tell you a limited amount of information.
Okay. More comments? Anyone else wish to speak?
May I speak to his question for just a second? Very brief.
Last chance. Anybody? Nope. Okay, go ahead, Gerald.
I thought of that when you said that. I wondered how this compares to last year and so forth. And then I thought, given the fact that, and I do appreciate the work that people put into the surveys and when they develop these, Barbara and Bill Orister and Bob Burns and so forth. We're not saying that, but given the ambiguity of just a number system, I chose not to bring that up about comparing numbers from the last year, because what are numbers, And I think when we look at redefining what we're doing and fixing a better, more concrete way of evaluating, I think, and hopefully executive session and things like that to hold these, I think we're moving in the right direction, but that's why I didn't bring up comparing numbers.
Okay. The comment I want to make about the survey is this. There are some questions on the my survey that I put very high evidence of a terrific director that we have nowadays. And one of them is, you know, it's respectable to be blind. Obviously, she constantly gets extremely high marks in that direction. And you only have to be around Pearl for a very short period of time before you know that's true. I look at some of the other things on there as a lack of communication. There's something going on that we need to, you know, link that back up again. Some of the scores were lower. I've been on the board now 10 years, and I can see some of those things dropping, although never has it dropped below satisfactory. Right. Never. But, you know, some of the things, but it is really important that clients are happy with what they're getting. It is important to me that she believes that it's respectable to be blind, because if you are a blind person, you know that doesn't always happen. You can go any place and you are a second-class citizen, and that's what we're trying to change. So I think we have a terrific commission, and I think we're very lucky to have Pearl as our director.
Jeff, you had made a comment about NFB, quote-unquote, being there as a resource and all of that, and that's great, and we appreciate that. But I will suggest to you that it's kind of a two-way street, if you will. We have, I can speak to a limited degree, although not the degree that I used to, because I'm no longer state president of ACB, but I guarantee you that if there is the need, and I got my vice president here to back me up, that if there is a need, ACB will also be willing and able to be a resource if and when it comes to it. I want to get that on record.
Okay. Are there any other public comments? Okay. Let's move on to our break. So what is that, 11:05?
11:05 is close enough.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll reconvene at 11:05, please. Hey. Thank you.
Hey. I would like instructions to the lady.